With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round 17, 2021. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has a very special announcement. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. Yes, big news for the Junk Time fans. And, you know, we've been at this, what, this is our seventh year. And I think it's time, Michael. I think it's time. And, you know, we've done a great show and we're going to continue to do a great show. Don't worry about that, Junk Timers. We are in our prime. But I think it's time to announce the Junk Time succession plan. And the way it's going to work, buddy, is at the end of 2021 is I will take over the show from 2022 and replace you on the show from 2022. So it will basically be me talking to myself and you won't be on the show anymore. So the intro is going to go along the lines of, hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round Blur. It's we're coming through from Wayne Jackson Studios and Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Adam Rosenbarks, and joining me is a man who blah blah blah. It's Adam Rosenbarks, and I'll take the ball. I'll throw myself over to other things that I can say back to myself. Okay. And I'll tell you what, in 2022, it is going to be a roller coaster of a show, Junk Time.
Sure, gotcha. So this this doppelganger of you. Okay, so yeah. I mean, it's
And you, mate, you are welcome to field any offers from any other podcasts that may back the money truck up at the end of this year. Like, if you, I know you're contracted till the end of 21, but if anyone comes to you now and says, hey, dude, I'm starting up a podcast, can you join it? Mate, feel free to go. Like, jump at it. It's explore all your options.
Yeah, sure. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, sure. Because I mean, I have been in talks with Joe Rogan because I feel like he hasn't radicalized enough school shooters yet. So I
exactly. There's a market there for it, mate. So absolutely. And you know, this gives you the year tour to say thank you to all your fans. Because you know what, Michael, I'm worried about your health. I've spoken to your family.
Are you worried about my health? Do you think I'm gonna maybe possibly die?
Yes, yes. I mean, I know that's what Eddie McGuire said about Mick Malthouse, but I do love you, and that's why I'm so worried, and I'm so concerned about you. That I want you to fuck off.
Yeah, sure. Now, can I spend the next decade passive-aggressively speaking out in the media about
hang
you?
Hang on. At which bit has Mick Malthouse been passive? All right, so let's go to the start.
Can I just when I go and get, like, you know, milk from the 7-Eleven, can I just, you know, the dude will go, you know, that's, you know, $3.50, and I go, anyway, they never should have got rid of me.
So let's go from the start. So Hawthorn have announced their succession plan. Probably forced their hand. Their hand was forced by Collingwood saying that they wanted to have a good chat to Sam Mitchell.
Yes.
And so they came out and went, oh, fuck, we better announce our succession plan because they want Mitchell to take over in 22.
Now, my mail from a very good source.
Here we go.
I can't say too much, Adam. You know, I got to protect my mail.
Yeah, no, you are very good with protecting your mail.
But my mail from a very high up official at Hawthorn.
Oh, yeah. Who may or may not wear an inside out gold and brown jacket.
May have told my mailman, who I didn't have to jump a punch, that Sam Mitchell was going to be the next coach of Hawthorn, but just didn't have a time frame for that. So it seemed to be a plan from a number of years ago that it was going to happen.
I completely understand that. I don't know if they did actually have their hand forced, just because you go, all I had to do was say, hey, Sam, when Collingwood comes a knocking, just say, hey, I don't think I'm ready. Therefore, you're out of the picture. You don't have to say anything. But do you reckon maybe Graham Wright, question without notice, insider trading, has gone, mate, Sam Mitchell's going to be the next coach. Let's fucking ask him, put the fucking heat on him and throw a little bit of a hand grenade followed by a Molotov cocktail followed by a flare followed by a bag of flaming shit.
Followed by an English supporter bashing an Italian.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I reckon. Actually, I mean, Robbo wrote an article about that during the week.
Did you just compare me to Mark Robinson?
Well, you are smoking Marlboro Reds right now. I see a few bottles of bourbon in the background.
Midday bourbon.
But Robbo talked about that during the week, and I thought, what a dumb conspiracy theory. But then I actually just reread the article, and I was like, yeah, that makes total sense. Graham Wright would have been in the know. He wouldn't know about the progression moving forward. And so therefore he goes, yeah, just tap Sam Mitchell on the shoulder. That will force their hand. Now, having said that, that just means Collingwood doesn't get either. Well, sorry. In theory, they could get Clarko.
Clarko. But he said he's not going anywhere. He's a man to honour his contract. And if I know Clarko, he's an honourable human being.
It's an interesting one. I do wonder about that, whether you kind of... I mean, reading the article from Mick Malthouse, he spoke to the media. It was very... They had to coax him out. He was very reluctant to talk about a succession plan. But he spoke about, which I didn't even think about really, was that... He said he spent kind of, you know, a year or two in recruiting meetings where they were basically talking to Nathan Buckley, kind of going,
and he hated it.
And he hated it, yeah. And then he did a weird driving metaphor. Did you see the driving metaphor?
I don't remember that.
I'll get the driving metaphor up for you.
And so he also said that really annoyed him because Gary Peart would walk past his office. He goes, he wore out the carpet out in front of my office on his way to Nathan Buckley's. Now, I'm concerned about the thickness of the carpet.
Oh, that's the thing I kind of raise questions about. About, you know, how much are they skimping on the carpet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Having said that, I'm in Sydney right now. Okay, we're in a lockdown. And I went down the street the other day just to go to the shops. And there was an essential carpet shop still open. So Gladys is driving a hard bargain.
Well, no, if you're in lockdown and you're on your hardwood floors and you're making a lot of noise and you go, how can we deaden this noise? When I just fucking want to bang my head against the floor because I'm stuck in lockdown, I want it to be on shag pile and not a hardwood floor. I completely understand leaving open the carpet stores.
And the essential carpet shop is located next door to an essential tile shop. So,
mate,
everyone in
you're at home. You've got to do a bit of DIY.
They're fucking idiots. So here's the fucking metaphor DIY. from Mick Malthouse. When you drive the car, you have a front seat passenger who is the assistant coach. And then you take your hand off the steering wheel.
Whoa!
I mean, it's fucking dangerous what he's doing right here. Why are you doing this, Mick? Take your foot off the accelerator and brake.
Hang on.
And they yell out, what are you doing? And you say, well, you're taking over. It's a major difference between sitting there and sunning yourself in the passenger seat and having to steer, accelerate and brake and all the bits and pieces that actually go with the driving. Oh, he's... With driving the truck. He's driving a truck now.
He's taking his fucking feet off the gas and the brakes.
He's driving a truck very dangerously, Mick. Come on.
Does he say where he picked up the methamphetamine? He's been driving the truck for 8 years. He hasn't stopped, Michael. And now Nathan Buckley, the fucking hitchhiker that he picked up that he's going to murder in the forest, now gets the fucking top job.
He's probably doing a very important delivery to the essential carpet shop and the essential tile shop. So I don't really know how I feel about this succession plan. Obviously, Clarko, legend of the coach, you can make an argument. You know, they've got the statue of Kennedy at Waverley. You can make an argument there should be a statue of Clarko right next to him. Just punching the wall beautifully.
That's a fair point, though.
Actually, he should be punching the Port fan in the throat. That should be the statue. If he ever gets a statue out the front of the G,
yeah. Geez,
I mean, they got to put out like two or three of Clarko. One punch
and
in the wall.
As you walk
punching
past,
a Port fan in the throat.
As you walk past the Port fan, it just screams in your ear. You're like, oh, fuck, I want to punch it now.
And what's he called? Didn't he call a reporter a cockhead or something?
Yes, he did. So the other story that's kind of been leaking out is that Hawthorn aren't that upset to see the back of Clarko. Apparently, he was a bit of a pain in the ass in the hub, and they didn't love him. And so to see the back of him is not the worst thing. I think the players are a bit tired of his message. He'd be a grumpy prick to be around 24/7.
I mean, also you'd imagine the dude would just be tired. Like it's been 17 years. Well, nearly 17 years in the job.
Yeah.
And, mate, I mean, it's 24/7. You'd just be like a wreck, wouldn't you?
Mate, I do like 17 weeks and I'm, you know, I do one comedy festival and I fucking need 7 months off.
Yeah, but that's because you've got to... They're throwing a lot of tomatoes at you, mate.
But the thing is, Eddie didn't want to do the succession plan, and this has been great because this succession plan has brought out the only two people who've completely royally fucked it. You don't hear Horse and Paul Ruse coming out and going, "Oh yeah, I handed over to Horse and he took it, and it worked out perfectly, and he got a flag out of it." You only hear from the one man who's still holding the biggest fucking grudge in the world, and then the other person whose fault it is. So Eddie came out and he said, "Let me tell you once and for all what happened." Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. So
that's emphatic.
It happened in July of 2009, and now finally Eddie Maguire has broken his silence on what's happened.
Yeah. It's great. He says, "I love Mick Malthouse." He loves him. "I was accused at the time of being too loyal to him." And I agree. You know that loyalty when you say to someone, "Hey, mate, I'm loyal to you to the point where I'm basically sacking you from the job you love." But that's the kind of loyal person I am. He says that, "I was sticking by him all the way because he rebuilt our club twice, blah, blah, blah. I thought there were things happening in Mick's life. I thought his health and that the stress of the job had an impact on the family." And Eddie could say it. Mick couldn't, but Eddie could.
Now, here he talks about it even today. So he's referring to Mick, about the aspect of what happened at Carlton and around the place, even at West Coast, even at the Dogs. But he's talking about, okay, so from Eddie's perspective in 2009, he's showing concern for Mick about what will happen at Carlton in like 3 years' time.
Mate, Eddie's good. That's why he's in the positions he's in, because he can see shit happening.
That's why he's leader, mate. That's why he's president for all that time. I mean, if I remember correctly, Eddie said at the press conference when he did hand over to Bucks, it was a proud and historic day. So he's consistent. He is consistent.
And he said, so he sits down with his manager, Peter Sidwell. So this is outside of, fuck, Mick. You reckon Mick would have taken this really well, two people talking about his future behind his back?
Yeah, no, I think he would have been happy about that. And also, take any manager at their word, you're an absolute fool.
So they kicked around an idea. They said, "We came up with an idea that part of it would be coaching and then it would be a chairman of selectors type role, even coming onto the board of the Collingwood Football Club." Well, I don't know if he could do that because he wasn't a member. And we know how that would be completely fucked up. He wouldn't have had voting rights.
And also, he talked about coming up with part of be coaching and then be chairman of selectors type role, even coming onto the board. And that's why they made him the director of coaching. That's the definition. That's the title they gave him.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, "If I had my way, Mick Malthouse would still be at Collingwood and we would have got through it. Now, Mick got 2 years into it and he did a great job. Prelim final, Premier's grand final." I'll tell you what, when you read it out like that, probably wouldn't have let him go. But the next period, he decided, "No, I still want to go on." No, you fucking told him he couldn't go on, and then he said, "I want to keep coaching."
Yes, and then he went to Carlton, and everything worked out fine. Now, I think it'd be a big deal actually, because I remember at the time, like in 2009, it happened in July because I looked it up earlier. So they handed over. Now, at that stage, Collingwood wasn't going to win a flag. Okay. They weren't going to win a flag. They did make that prelim that year. They went down to Geelong, I believe, if I'm correct. And then they were unlikely to win a flag. And so it was kind of unfortunate for the succession plan that then the next year they were fucking guns. And then the next year, the grand final, when they made that grand final, they went 20-2.
And they only lost to Geelong.
Only lost to Geelong, yeah. That year, it was amazing. Geelong were 19-3. Hawthorn were 18-4.
Fucking hell.
How do you finish 18-4 and not fucking finish on top of the ladder? Yeah.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
And so
sort of sums up your football team, really.
It's a little bit different this year by the fact that, you know, obviously the Hawks are like 17th. We're in the realm
you're
of
the
wooden spoon.
You're in the mix for wooden spoon.
I know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
North Melbourne are playing very well at the moment, and you guys aren't.
Yeah, we were shit on Saturday. That was fucking horrible to watch. That was like watching a country footy game. It was just nothing happening. Just the players didn't care. The crowd didn't care.
Mate, welcome to being down the bottom of the ladder. when there's nothing to play for, and you just go, "Why did I even watch this?"
Yeah,
what?
Sure.
Part of my fucking little brain goes, "Nah, there could be a chance."
Yeah, sure.
Nah, you might win it. Yeah. You're not going to fucking win it. Give up.
Sure, yeah, and I'm feeling pretty bad not now. I might just look over to the cupboard I have at Wayne Jackson, Rod Carter Studios. After the premierships, I'd save like the papers from like the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and that pile is probably about 2 feet high, so I'm feeling pretty bad right now.
You know what I hope is that that pile of papers spontaneously combusts while you are sleeping, and that your fire alarm, that you're in a dodgy apartment complex that has painted on smoke alarms, and that somehow that pile of burning papers falls across your front door, so you were forced out into your balcony, which is covered in dodgy cladding. Well, best case scenario.
Well, that would happen if I was at my place of dwelling, but I'm not at my place of dwelling.
Of course,
I'm at Rod Carter Studios.
Well, Rod Carter Studios is insured for $15 million.
Yes, because I need to come. I actually am at Rod Carter Studios 24/7 now. I actually have moved in here, actually, by the fact that I need to be able to go to a press conference of Gladys within 5 minutes' notice. Now,
how is your lockdown going along, mate? How are you coping?
I've been going to a lot of carpet shops, a lot of tile shops. No, it's all fine, man. It's all fine. Keeping a low profile. Luckily, not seeing too many people around on the streets in my location. But but then I see some kind of concerning footage of other areas.
I saw an area. Was it Coogee? The filming down at Coogee Beach the other day.
Yeah.
Fucking hell! It was like Saturday.
Yeah, people don't really need to do that. I didn't manage to walk past any ovals, so I haven't seen anybody working out. But yeah, I mean, I think people could maybe take it a bit more seriously. But
yeah, you're watching a lot of footy because of it. Are you staying in, watching the footy, checking stuff out?
I mean, obviously I'm watching every game from behind the goals. You know, I find interesting though about this city is that it doesn't really seem to be coming north of the bridge, which I find quite interesting.
It's sort of southwest and east at the moment, isn't it?
Not really kind of stemming north, which I just think just maybe goes to show that kind of people just, you
stay
live south
area.
Or north. Yeah, you stay in your area. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be fine.
Our segregation, it's fantastic. It worked in South Africa, it's working in Sydney.
Okay. Written and spoken by Adam Rosenbach. Hey, our Patreon, Adam, our Patreon.
Yes, we are loving our supporters here at Junk Time. We do appreciate it, and it will help the succession plan going forward. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can help us out.
If I leave next year, I get a big fucking payout.
If you leave early, we're going to make sure that you stick around. Even if you're miserable in every fucking episode, we will make you stick it out. Patreon.com/JunkTimeAFLPod, and you can support us, and we do love it. So thank you a lot for everyone who is on board and supporting us over these last couple of years. It's been great.
Then we got our merch as well, Adam.
Yeah, you can get yourself the Junk Time stubby holders, and that is available at junktime.bigcartel.com, and we can and I think it's gone up to $9 now. The fucking Australia Post, they've gone, oh, everyone's in lockdown, that means a lot more stuff's going to be sent in the mail.
Let's
should we capitalize on that? Absolutely, we fucking should. So now when the postie arrives, jump a punch, look around, see no umpire, another one.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We can't have
double.
Them getting away with that kind of stuff.
Nah, or like, you know, jump a punch and they drop to the ground and then go to like help them up and bang, back down.
Hey, a topsy-turvy week of results, Adam.
Mate, there was like 12-point games in there. You know, Essendon are well and truly in the mix. Hawthorn dropped down to 12th, I think. Freo jumped up from 10th to 7th, something like that. Like, it's been unbelievable. And Richmond are still in the mix because West Coast was so shit yesterday, last night.
Okay, but do you think Richmond are G-O-N-E, gone?
I don't, because they're a... You can't write off someone who's, you know, been 3 out of 4. I just think that, you know, like even with Hawthorn, it was like even last year, you're a bit like, oh, there's still Hawthorn though. And now finally this year we've gone... Oh, they're fucked. Oh, how good is this? We can actually go and watch a Hawthorn game knowing they're going to lose. You can't watch that yet with Richmond, but they have got Brisbane this weekend, so it's fucking huge.
That's massive, yeah. I mean, it's 4 in a row they've lost, so it's not great. I mean, also with the COVIDness of the whole situation, there are going to be teams that are going to be staying in Victoria for a long time. And then also, Adam, I mean, if it continues for another couple of weeks, like 2 months maybe, you could get to a stage where Sydney, maybe even Giants, if they can get in, qualify for a home final and... don't get to play it at home.
Yeah, that's more than likely. Well, Sydney definitely... I reckon Sydney can make top four. I reckon Brisbane could be in trouble now without Hipwood. So that's a huge game against Richmond this weekend. It's at the MCG. They've lost 9 in a row there. Can you believe that?
No way.
They haven't won at the MCG since 2014.
No way.
Now, I'm just surprised they only play like 1.5 games there a year.
Now, actually, we do have actually have Swans and Giants playing each other this week, and I can't remember where it's going to be.
I'm pretty sure it's in Ballarat.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of an 8-point game, mainly for the Giants though, because they really need to win to kind of get into the eight. Or try
they really let themselves down by losing to the Suns by a point. That's a game, you know, they beat Melbourne the week before. You know they've got it in them, and then they go down to the... Mate, you know what they are? They're fucking flaky.
Oh, yeah, they're flat-track bullies, mate.
You don't want to be flaky.
Mate.
They are flat-track
downhill skiers.
They are downhill skiers. Speaking of, Port Adelaide, another downhill... Fuck, they love a downhill ski, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought that was a pretty good win by Melbourne by the fact they were over there. And also just kind of... Melbourne have been a bit up and down the last few weeks, and they kind of just needed that big win to kind of consolidate themselves.
And they got it. And they'd had some kind of average, you know, they'd won three out of the last five.
Yeah, they had an average month, great.
But I reckon Freo were the big winners, and Sydney were the massive winners, beating the Western Bulldogs. That was a great win at Marvel.
That was a massive win. Okay, Adam, how about a question without notice? How about we play a little game of, like, who is going to win the flag? Because at this stage...
Western Bulldogs.
I think Doggies, yeah. I feel like the Doggies have a bit more going for them.
All right, well, that was a fun game. Let's play it again next week. Who's going to win the flag?
I mean, Melbourne winning it would be obviously a great story and stuff like that. But do you feel like a little bit like Melbourne winning it? A, it'd be great for comedy. B, it'd be great for the MCC members. I mean, C, it'd be great for private schools all across Victoria. D,
absolutely.
Do you feel like the Doggies winning it, like the long droughts... And, you know, Saints, obviously, everyone wants them to win one. Do you feel like everyone's kind of begging for Melbourne to win one? They've got the big drought, but do you feel like we have that
no.
kind of... They're not the underdog, are they, in a way?
Not in the same way that... You know what, the Doggies, everyone kind of felt sorry for the Doggies. Like, they were everyone's kind of second team. You felt good
no,
for them.
No, fucking second team. That shit, fucking anyone who mentions a second team. But any time I hear someone say they have a second team, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you ever again about sport. You're a fucking loser. Anyone listening to this podcast right now, I guarantee I will quit this podcast at the end of 2021 if you have a second team.
We are junktimeaflpod@gmail.com.
Second teams? What are you talking about? Fucking
you know losing. There's the teams that you hate less?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that would be your 17th least hated team.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like the outpouring of emotion for Melbourne winning the flag, I feel like will not be as great for like a Doggies or a Saints.
Yeah, I think so. I think because they were downtrodden for so long. And also, Doggies and Saints had like one between them up until 2016. Whereas Melbourne dominated back, you know, in the good years after the war.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's a good time to have it. Your parents got some investment properties out of it.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the other thing. Is they're from a slightly higher socioeconomic area?
Yeah, sure. So like, yeah, because Melbourne dominated like when, you know, when the... The cowardly men didn't go to war and play footy. Okay.
Now, Eddie Maguire has been in the news quite a bit in the last week. Now,
Collingwood supporter.
sometimes he likes helping out some sponsorship
things. For Collingwood and sponsorship for the AFL. You know,
he just loves his footy.
Just like when we pop into AFL House and go, "Hey, Gil, hey, do you want to hook up? We can hook up a contract with Toyota if you want."
So a couple of weeks ago, the Herald Sun published the rich list, and they had, you know, from 100 to 1, and also it said whether you could have on the money, bargain, or paying overs, basically.
They made a really big deal of it. They did a whole bunch of articles about this rich list and kind of...
Yeah.
And then kind of shoehorned other articles into it. So it was like, you know, how Buddy got to Sydney, and it's like... Yeah. Anyway, check out the rich list. And it's like, we know the story about how Buddy went to Sydney because it happened 8 years ago and you've written about 15,000 articles about it. He had a meeting with the Swans in December of the year before he went to, and Liam Pickering had no idea that he was...
But Eddie came out off the back of that and said that the publication of players' salaries might prompt kidnapping to go after players and players' children for ransoms. And it says here in the article that written by Robbo, presumably for ransom.
No, I think it's...
what else for you, fucking idiot? Just for a chat?
It's Ralphie, isn't it? Or is that Robbo?
That's Robbo.
Oh, man. Ralphie wrote the initial article, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, did you pay any credence to that article whatsoever? I figured it was just like 100% just spitballing.
Oh, as in like it's kind of ballparkish?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, well, that feels right.
if you know the salary, you're not saying, oh, he earns 900 to 950. You're saying, well, he earns 940 plus incentives.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Incentives, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was kind of ballparking. And they probably worked out. Do you reckon the reporters would have almost, question without notice,
well,
their salary cap worked out of what they think each player would get? So if someone's on 900, they go, well, okay, there can only be two other highly paid players at the club.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. Yeah, sure. But then also, yeah, I mean, Ralphie, you're a public figure. Why don't we print your fucking salary in the paper?
Oh, it's like that, is it?
I'm getting political. But also, I think in the NBA, I think they publish every salary to the letter. Like, you know.
Yeah, NFL definitely does.
Yeah, gotcha. I feel like it's a requirement in the NBA. They have to do it.
Yeah, okay. So I don't see what the big deal is. I don't remember any NBA or NFL players being kidnapped or baseball kids being kidnapped. But
no.
But I think, like, if you're out there and you are going to kidnap a child, make sure you get the player to sign the kid first so it's worth more, like memorabilia. Like, you can sell him, you go, like, this is one of Buddy's kids, but it's signed by Buddy.
But I think it'd be annoying to kidnap an AFL footballer because they'd just be like, A, they'd ask you for a drink card. And then B, they'd just be playing PlayStation the whole time as well. Like, they'd be like, oh, what's my PlayStation? I want
to
play.
Wouldn't be fun to hang out with.
I want
to
play Madden.
But do you reckon they're going to kidnap players or go after families?
I think you'd go after families, yeah. I mean, I'm...
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we getting into weird territory now?
No. If you're going to do a kidnapping, who do you target and how do you do it?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, you got to make sure they got a blog, okay? you got to make sure they got a mummy blog.
That's fair.
And you can get some sweet, sweet sponsorship deal off that, okay?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, you'd hate to kidnap a wag and then they just come in and criticise your interior decorating choices.
Yeah, and then just post about it on Instagram and you're like, oh, fucking stop embarrassing me.
Oh, this kidnapper had the worst couch. Yeah. He didn't even get it for free.
It's hopeless.
Okay, there's an awesome story. Okay. Sit back, junk timers. Okay. Our mate, Toot Toot, the chicken train.
So there was quite an interesting article in the Herald Sun done by Tony Sheehan, so son of Mike, and he has like a kind of gossipy sort of column about AFL and sports.
It's called Sheehan Inc.
Yeah. I think it's been around for a little while, but it never kind of pops up that much until something really interesting piques our interest.
Now, it'd probably been the printed edition of the Herald Sun, but obviously we don't really kind of pick up the printed edition. So we're only really at the mercy of what they put online.
Yeah. So Ricky Nixon, Junk Timers, is about to release an 8-week docuseries which details the world of the former agent to the stars, Ricky Nixon. That's how it's written. So the show is called White Line Fever. Hey, get it? Get it? Yeah, you get it. Yeah, you get it.
Read between the lines, people.
Read between white and line.
And it's a behind-the-scenes look into some of the game's biggest scandals, such as the Essendon supplement scandal, Ben Cousins' spiral. Mm. There should be an apostrophe there. Doesn't have one.
Disappointing.
Nixon's run-in with notorious gangster Alphonse Gansitano.
Okay, I don't know about that story. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that story. And I'll complete this when we can go back. Meeting with Mick Gatto as well as other high-profile identities. So Alphonse Gansitano was kind of really the first person to be murdered in the Melbourne underbelly kind of wars.
Yes, he was.
He was renowned as the Robert De Niro of Lygon Street, which I think just means he was a very good actor. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Wasn't he the Black Prince?
I think it meant he was like really respected for a long time. Then like in the latter part of his life, he started doing these shitty films.
Yeah.
Meeting with Mick Gatto. And so, okay. So Ben Cousins' spiral, Nicky's running with Gangitano, Mick Gatto. There's a common theme here. Ricky Nixon is at the center of all these. It's like those people who go, all my housemates are crazy. And it's like, I think you're the crazy one.
And so he says that it looks into the game's biggest scandals. Like Essendon supplement saga, we know about that. Ren Cousins spiral, we know about that. Nixon's running with gangster Alphonse Gangitana. I'm intrigued to know about that because I've never heard that story. But we're only hearing it from one person because 50% of that story is deceased.
Yep. Now, okay, so... This is my favourite bit, okay?
Yep.
It says, producers are already in talks with Amazon and Netflix about a potential streaming deal.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, two, one.
one.
If this thing, White Line Fever, sees the light of day, I will walk naked through a Gladys press conference, okay?
Here we go.
And two, if Amazon or Netflix have even fucking heard from these producers, I will fucking fly into space with Jeff Bezos naked and then stream
you
myself
a
into a Gladys press conference.
I like it. I like it.
This is fucking... It's incredible. It's incredible. It's just like, and what are you going to tell us about the Essendon saga that we don't already know?
We don't already know. Also, he says here it's going to make a lot of people in the industry very nervous. Yeah, it fucking is, Ricky. You know what? You know how you wanted to get back into management and being seen as like, you know, pretty cool dude and, you know, got everything back together? This isn't helping by fucking telling everyone the stories from behind the scenes.
What did I say from Ricky the other day? What was that? It was something like he was selling masks. Ricky Nixon mask. I'm going to type that in.
You know what? Oh, okay. Well, why not? I think it is necessary. Although, shouldn't that be just available?
I'm pretty certain he was doing this. Here we go. Okay. Would you buy a face mask from Ricky Nixon? That's the start of an Age article from August last year, August 10. So I think Ricky bought a bunch of PPE and then was selling it out the front of the fucking bakery.
But wasn't he doing the flu vaxes at the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because he was...
At the pub.
I think he had a little bit of a mobile medical industry going on.
Yes, I believe he did.
That's right, yeah. So here we go from Ricky. Oh, no, I think that's Max Markson, that quote. So Ricky... He set up a mobile healthcare business, Vital Health Checks, offering blood pressure checkups, flu shots, and other health services. But yeah, so I think last year he was selling a bit of PPE.
You know how there are some people out
PPE is that abbreviation for like a street drug that I don't know?
mate, I took 2 grams of PPE last night.
Man, I got fucking wasted on PPE. Tell you what.
You know how there are some people who are out there who are a little bit scared of doctors or vaccines or, you know, they're a bit dubious and not sure of the quality of stuff. And then you go, oh, no, but Ricky Nixon's involved. They go, oh, well, fuck, I'm on board.
I mean,
where do I get my jab? You go to the pub and you go upstairs like a fucking normal person. Gotcha.
It's like the idea of, you know, when you, like, back in the day of, like, a current affair and they have, like, a backyard dentist.
Yep.
And you just go, fuck, man, what kind of world are you living in where you kind of go, knock on the front door and you go, oh, yeah, no one's answering. I might just go out the backyard into the shed to the dentist.
You know what I love is the idea that, one, you've set yourself up as a backyard dentist, and two, that word of mouth...
Got around. Fuck, he's good, mate. He's good.
Yeah, I know. And then people have gone, fuck, seriously? He goes, mate, $20, tooth, no fucking pain.
Seriously, mate, I tell you what...
How many hepatitises do you get? All of them.
Yeah.
All a part of the $20.
A, B, C, D, H.
Yeah.
I mean, tell you what, after 2 weeks, I stopped bleeding. He's that good. He's that good. So can I read this other article from Sheen Inc.?
Hang on, let me stop. Before you get to that, now Ricky already has one autobiography out. We've talked about that many years ago on the podcast.
Self-printed.
Had a YouTube link that was written down
in
a book.
In the book, yeah.
Now... Surely, and I haven't read the book, it's on us that we haven't done our research
and
properly.
And I'm sure it would be 100% true, every single word.
Mate, that's why I didn't read it, because I already know all the truth. But surely Nixon's run-in with notorious gangster Alphonse Gangitano would have at least gotten a chapter in there.
Have been in the book, yeah, okay. So, yeah, actually, any junk timers out there who have read the book, A,
fuck,
we feel sorry for you.
Please give us a call.
And B, let him know if he mentions Alphonse in the book. So Alphonse got whacked, I think, by Jason Moran in the end. They didn't actually prove that, but I think that was the coroner's report.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Now, I mean, if I'm besmirching the good name of Jason Moran, hey, he's welcome to come at me.
Spoken by Michael Chamberlain.
Oh, actually, by the fact, I mean, he got whacked across the road from your parents' house, wasn't it?
No, that was Jason.
Yeah, Jason. That's what I said, Jason.
Oh, I thought you said Mark. Yeah, right. No. Yes, he did.
I mean, if I besmirch the good name of Mark, he's welcome to come at me as well. So there's another thing from Sheen Inc, right? Okay, I find this amazing that this got printed. Okay, I've got to read the whole thing. So, a sporting television legend stumbled upon a wallet at a Richmond cafe this week.
Okay, happens. Oh, fuck. First lesson of sport. You don't touch someone's wallet, man. Like, he should have just looked at it.
I mean, we can immediately rule one person out then. Sporting television legend. So we actually shouldn't be speculating on names by the fact that But I find this remarkable. This got printed. Sporting television legend stumbled upon a wallet at a Richmond cafe this week. The wallet was left behind in a pile of newspapers. I was probably touring my pile of newspapers.
They looked at it and went, this is from 2014 and it's covered in, oh, what is that? Why are all the pages stuck together?
Pile of newspapers. Looking through the wallet for the owner's identity, he found $700 and a bag of white powder.
Ooh, hang on. That could be the basis for a new TV series called White Line Fever. Continue.
Some of the AFL scandals. He turned to his mates drinking coffee and said, well, geesh, Sheen Inc's all over the shop. It meant to be capital W. Mm. It's not a capital. Well, who's going to try it?
So he's found the wallet.
Found the wallet. Found the white power. It's probably morning because they're drinking coffee.
Mm. And he's gone, said, hey, boys, who's going to try it?
It's 8:15 a.m.
Yeah, fuck, man.
Let's get a little
bit of... You know what? This coffee's not hitting the spot.
I mean, I said to the barista, I want sugar. This is clearly sugar. He said, mate, well, who's going to try it? Neither were willing.
So that implies that there's three of them.
Yeah,
already,
two other people, yeah.
All right, we're down three men, so a TV legend and two other mates.
Yep, neither were willing. Okay. So the TV star dipped his finger in the dipped his finger in the substance, proceeded to rub on his gums to test the purity. I fucking can't believe this fucking got printed.
No. But if you were, it's like someone comes into you and says, hey, have you guys seen a wallet? And you're like, well, we have. And we've found some substance in there. And you go to them. The first question you ask is not, how do you prove it's a wallet? You go, what's the purity of the gear left in the wallet?
Dude.
Don't you do that? I do that every time I find drugs. I try them out, get half-baked and be like, oh, that's good purity.
You know, I remember years ago, I remember reading an article about, it was a cop kind of saying how real movies and TV were when they depict police.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one thing, you know, in films or TV, they dip their finger in the cocaine and lick it. And he's like, you'd never do that. You would never do that ever.
Well, you'd never break the seal of a bag, would you?
Well, he said you just don't know what it is. So why would you even dare put it in your mouth, you know?
Yeah, but that's what buying drugs is. Do you reckon one cop goes in, they find a pill press, and he just fucking licks the beaters? He's like, oh, man, this is fucking good shit.
Yeah, and the Moran brothers, I mean, they shot Carl Williams because he had a pill press. They had a pill press, and then he would use it outside of official hours. And if the Moran brothers want to come at me, I mean, I'm fucking waiting for you, mate.
So Carl Williams actually answered the door to the police in his pajamas, covered in speed dust.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was putting them into pills on the pill press. True story. And he answered the door covered in it. And the cops went, they probably just fucking licked his pajamas and went, okay, you're fucking nicked.
Dude, I think I've told this on the pod before, but it was probably about 2004 or so, and we were filming the acclaimed sketch show, Skid House, at the Coma Hotel in South Yarra, right next to Channel 10 in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And we just had a drink. Were you there? We had a drink after. Yeah, we had a drink after the shooting.
And Carl Williams was there.
Shooting's not term.
After filming. We were filming.
And Carl Williams was having a drink with a mate, and we were like, holy fuck, because at that time, he was like, the whole media was like, he's the next to get popped. Like, he's going to get popped. Yeah. And then a friend of ours went to take a photo of the group, and he was like, oh, I'll get in the photo, and just turned to the first person next to him, And it was Carl Williams. He said, "Hey, mate, can you take the photo?" And he took the photo. And we just had the biggest shit-eating grins on our face because we're like, this is going to be fucking evidence in court. It's going to be fucking evidence in court.
Yeah.
Oh. So anyway, this fucking coke fiend dipped his finger in. He said, "It's not good." He laughed. "Me and the missus used to get better than that." I fucking hate
it. So he's married. This guy's married.
I fucking hate men who use the word missus. Fucking hate it. The sheepish owner of the wallet returned sometime later, asking the cafe owner if he'd seen his wallet. Nah, I wouldn't have used wallet twice in the sentence there.
Yeah.
I'd be in a bit of trouble if I lost that. The owner grinned.
It grinned. Bit of fun.
I find that fucking remarkable that got reported, and there'd be people who could make the links to this sporting television legend. And I mean, I just want Bruce McVaney to get all the help that he can.
Oh, another one of our footballing identities has fallen by the wayside, Michael. We have to say goodbye to Rex Hunt and 3AW. He's been given the arse. So he does a show called Footy Nightline, which I'm assuming is on after the footy coverage.
I believe it's Saturday night. So I reckon I might have a bit of the final siren RIP about it. Like
gotcha.
A little bit like a few people have had a few jars through in the J, calling up to give their very important opinions about things they don't know anything about. So I think it was post-game. And he got Narky. He was interviewing Dipper. And he went long on the interview. And so I think the boss at the station called up and said, "Hey, you missed..."
Because he dropped an ad break.
"You missed an ad break. So, you know,
yeah,
what are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I'm interviewing Dipper. That's essentially an ad break." He's talking about, you know, things available for $9.95.
Yeah, that's right.
And so Rex went on a bit of a tirade for about 3 minutes about, you know, not being respected enough, I suppose, as a man formidable and also formative in building 3AW football into what it was, what it is.
And can I just say to the head of football, Craig Moore, who obviously, you know, Junk Time, we're about to sign with 3AW, but I'm willing to throw that contract to the side to have a crack at this man.
No, that's a good point.
He has shut down.
No holds barred, yeah.
No, he has shut down an interview with the recluse, Robert DiPietromedico. Now, we might have heard something about the 89 grand final there that Dipper's never fucking talked about.
That's a really good point, actually, because, I mean, Dipper is...
Mate.
He's a bit like JD Salinger. Like,
how did they get him? Did they get proof of life that it was Dipper? Like, I don't even know what Dipper sounds like.
I have no idea. I've never seen Dipper on TV at any stage of my entire life. Never heard him on the radio. Rex Hunt, you know, probably spent months working on this interview, going through Dipper's advisors, you know. Maybe his agent and manager.
You know what would have happened? Rexy would have been sitting there. They're doing the show and they said the Dipper calls come through. They were told months ago, it's going to happen one Saturday night. Yeah. You won't know when. We will fucking ring you.
The Dipper alarm.
Be prepared.
The Dipper alarm probably went off. The flashing red light. Yeah.
Exactly. They go, "We've got him." What? Yeah. The Dipper who played in 89 grand final. That one. The one. Did Gary Ablett run into him? "Shut up, I don't want to ruin it. He might tell us today on the show." And so they lose.
Wait, is he going to tell that story about the time Alan James pushed him up against the wall? I've never heard that story before.
Is he going to tell how many coins, how he can fit a bar of soap in his penis? No.
Oh,
is
God.
He going
to
tell?
Oh, God. No.
Just fun stories.
Oh, fuck. So Rex cracked it. Now, I think for maybe for our younger junk timers out there, you kind of forget just how fucking massive Rex Hunt was. Like,
in the 90s, would you say?
I mean, wasn't Sam Newman coined the term Channel Rex on Channel 7?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
That he was everywhere? Yeah, yeah.
So did he do Channel 7 coverage as well, or was it just 3AW?
I feel he did a bit of Channel 7, but not a like a Bruce or a Dennis or anything like that. Yeah. I think I imagine probably his style was a little bit too flamboyant for TV as opposed to probably work better for radio.
Now, can I just say that actually, you know, because I used to listen to
the bit
footy
when
on the radio.
You commentate and you had no idea where the ball was on the ground or who had it?
No, that I was just about to say that. He had so many fucking of his in-joke nicknames. Yeah. You'd be like, "Oh, I don't know who's got the ball. I don't even know if he's fucking playing today."
Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. But you do forget, like, he was so incredibly massive. I think there's a story that goes, he had fan mail from, like, a kid from the UK or something, and they just wrote Rex Hunt, Australia, on the envelope.
And it got to him.
It got to him, yeah.
Unbelievable. The power of Rex Hunt. And then he talks to Dipper and he loses his job over that.
And you know what he did when he got the letter, which is actually a tribute to Rex. He gave the postman a little jumper punch. A little jumper punch.
Gave him a kiss, threw him back.
But he lost the job. So I think it's about the third time we're saying goodbye to Rex, though. So he said goodbye to 3OW and then he did Triple M for a bit. But they kind of wouldn't let Rex talk before the game. He only just came on for the commentary.
Okay.
And then and that was it. And then now he's had this Saturday night show, and so now he's, yeah, gone for a walk again. But let me just say, I'm invincible. I'm paying money. The girl's happy. She's got no money. I've got my rocks off. How good is this?
What is that?
That's a famous quote from Rex Hunt from the 3W when he had the little sex scandal about a decade ago. I'm invincible. I'm paying money. The girl's happy. She's got no money. I've got my rocks off. How good is this?
And in what context was that? Was that him saying this is what happened? Or?
Yeah, it was when he was kind of confessing. That clip was kind of made famous on Get This, Tony Martin.
Oh, right.
Ed Cavalier and Richard Marsland, RIP, the legend.
Gotcha.
Hey, footballers in real life, man?
Hit me.
Okay, we got a few this week. Actually, we got a little bit of correction last week from Anthony because we were talking about, I think I asked the question about where, it was a question without notice, so it's on me.
It was.
About where North Melbourne players would hang out.
Yeah.
Because maybe they were hanging out where the area you grew up. And from Anthony.
And I thought the tunnel. I said, because I know that Wayne Carey and a few of those used to go to the tunnel, and that's where he got himself in trouble. But Anthony has an update for us.
Yeah, the Carey era North spent heaps more time at the Ivy than the tunnel.
Okay.
Which is the Ivy? I don't know the Ivy.
I reckon the Ivy was on the corner of like Russell and Flinders Lane, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
It might be around where Garden State is now, I think.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Because I was never like really much of a city nightclubber, I suppose, in my younger days.
You were the Malvern and the Armadale and head to Cheers for a couple of cheap drinks.
Oh, that's right.
Drinks.
Yeah, Cheers toss for a couple of Toss the Boss on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. And that wasn't even with the coins. Hey-oh, come on.
Bang. Now, Wayne Carey, years ago, he had a chat to my sister. Have I told this story?
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, my sister's quite petite, and obviously Duck is like a big dude, but he kind of went to talk to her in a nightclub one night, and she knew who he was, and no, actually, I don't think she did know who he was, and okay. Tried to have a bit of a chat, and then the version I remember is that he said, "You're not talkative tonight," and she's like, "Not to you," and walked off to her boyfriend. And then her boyfriend said, "Oh, that's Wayne Carey."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh, cool." Didn't really mean much to her. And now, upon reflection, I'm so fucking glad she didn't fucking talk to him.
And also, I bet her boyfriend was glad he didn't find out what she said and the way she said it, because he'd be dead.
Yeah. But anyway. Fuck Wayne Carey. Hey, from Andrew. Now I feel like we have not read this one out before, but I just found it in a Twitter message, Andrew, so I'm sorry if we're a bit late to this. Football in real life. Back in January, after returning to the office in Fitzroy, we headed over to Industry Beans for a morning coffee meeting. Did you find a wallet?
Yeah. Man, make sure you check it out.
Sitting at the next table in the outdoor area was none other than the great one, Little Master Gary Ablett, with his family. He looked lean and fit and enjoying a relaxing morning. Nonetheless, none of my colleagues had any idea who he was, so I tried to explain when we got back to the office.
Do you reckon Gary Ablett would be amazed that there would be people in the Fitzroy Collingwood area who have no idea who he is? Like, he'd have to be up there with one of the most, along with Dusty, you would have thought, as one of the most recognisable footballers of our era.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, I actually wonder now, actually, just kind of seeing this. What do you think the Little Master gets up to nowadays? Like, he's never really been quite particularly public with his business outside of football.
No, but he'd have entrepreneurial things.
You'd imagine they'd have
sort of bubbling away in the background.
Like that.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah, but like he's never really kind of gotten to the t-shirt game like a lot of people do and stuff like that.
No, I would have imagined that he would have gotten into the fitness industry. He's a very fit player, so why not just, you know, an extension of that? And if I'm a young player and I see that Gary Ablett's doing something in the fitness world, I'm fucking buying it. Like, you know, Joel Selwood's kick returner thing.
And I think he'd be quite prudent too. I don't think he'd be too flashy with his investments.
Nah, he's not off to Vegas every 6 months.
From Mark, spotted pushing a pram along Ballarat Street with a dog in Yarraville on Tuesday, Jason Johannesson, JJ, Norm Smith medalist.
There you go.
From Lockie.
What kind of dog? What do you reckon, sausage?
We could probably even find it if we have an Instagram account.
Yeah, that's a good point.
From Lockie, went to a cafe, but do you really want to put in the effort to find out JJ's?
Not right now, no.
Yeah, we really could Google that right now, but we're not going to. From Lockie, I mean, the Norm Smith was a long time ago. From Lockie, we went to a cafe in Broadbeach with a mate this morning as we get ready for our local game of footy. Top of the ladder, doing very well. Broadbeach, obviously in southeast Queensland, kind of Goldie area. On the way in, we spot two familiar faces, Eric Hipwood and Charlie Cameron. As we go to order, we end up lining up behind Hipwood. For himself, he orders an eggs on toast with extra eggs.
Ooh, and a lot of protein.
Gets Charlie a bacon and egg burger. However, Charlie has requested to swap out the egg for an extra hash brown. Fascinating
Lockie,
detail.
Fucking great detail, buddy.
Love
good
the detail.
Yeah.
The lady behind.
Jeez, you must have been standing close. That's on social distancing to get all that.
Well, it's Queensland, so, you know, they've been living a normal life for a while. The lady behind the counter was making small talk and asked what he was up to today, to which he replies that he's playing football. She obviously doesn't know who he is because she followed up by asking him which team he plays for. Eric was a bit embarrassed to say Brisbane. Not embarrassed to say Brisbane, but.
No. Embarrassed kind of. Says, if I'm a footballer, I'm a legend.
I'm making about 700 grand, love. Couple of chuckle extra eggs in there, mate.
Yeah.
When it was my turn to order, she assumed that I was sitting at the same table. I had to awkwardly explain that I was also playing footy today, but at a much lower level. Back at our table, we had a lot to unpack, speculating on who was on more cash or if Hipwood was shouting the meal because he kicked less goals for the year. Cheers. Go the Bull Sharks.
Thank you for that, Lockie. And poor, that would have been the last meal he really would have enjoyed, Eric Hipwood, because he did his knee on the weekend. He's out for the season, ACL.
Dude, oh, man. Also, if they kind of, you know, if they do win the flag, fuck, what are you to miss?
Oh, that's got to fucking hurt. And I mean, there's only so many eggs you can have before the pain comes.
I looked up the Bull Sharks, so I'm thinking Lockie might play at the Bond University. I think they're the Bull Sharks. So shout out to the Bull Sharks at Bond University. Hey, we are going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeOfAPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram.
Go Blues.
Go and Succession Plan.
Go Blues.
And Hawks.
No, that's not how the Succession Plan works. It's Go Blues, then Go Blues. You stay out of it.
Go Hawks.
No, that's not...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.